Hey, so what does Cindy say? She got those numbers up, right? So how many of you are beginning to see some improvements in your business, in your life, as you're starting to recognize these numbers, right? Yeah. So sometimes what happens is this is all about awareness. An assessment is all about awareness. It always starts with awareness. And so sometimes the second time you do it, some of the numbers are lower because you've learned a few things about what it really needs to look like, right? Sometimes you have to go down just a little bit to go up, right? And so, but then you start working on those systems. One of the things I want to recognize about Mindy is that she is engaged. She is on those pods. She is on those webinars. And I'm starting to see a trend here. Okay, and that trend is the people who are growing are the ones who are involved. The ones who are growing are the ones who are participating on a regular basis. Now, if you're busy, I don't want anybody to feel like, man, I have to be on all these calls, right? What I want you to do is say, man, when I get on that pod, even though maybe I didn't do what it is that I was supposed to do, I'm going to get some encouragement. I'm going to pick something up that I needed, right? I'm going to hear something that can change my life. It only takes one comment sometimes, you know, one interaction, one person that you meet, right? So as Sherry said, the reason we're here is because we want to take action, right? Another word for that is? Implementation, right? So I want to show you something in the booklet here. You'll notice that on the right-hand side, Jim has put in your master list. Okay, this is something that I learned from Ellen Moore. You're always going to have ideas. You're going to, especially after a conference like this, you're going to have pages and pages and pages of notes, okay? And there are always, and that's a good thing to have all these different ideas, because ideas can turn into something phenomenal. I mean, again, look at what's happening here with this community. At one time, that was an idea. It was just an idea. And in fact, the first product that we thought about, phenomenal product, was a truck. And I saw a picture of Mel's truck last night, and I'm on a car buying spree right now. I almost bought another car online this morning, I promise. I was like, I mean, I know, I got too many cars, and now I need to drive. But he showed me this big Peterbilt truck. I was like, I'm not in the honey wagon business, but I want that truck. Like, I just want a video of me driving that truck down the road, you know, this big old thing. What's that? I will. I may do that. And I have done that. So, what's that? Yeah, I met a guy on the beach a couple weeks ago, and I got to talking to him, and he's a builder and everything, and they're, you know, moving to Destin. They're making that transition from Atlanta. And I said, well, you know, where do you live? And he told me, and he said, I built a garage. So, wait a minute, you built a garage. He said, yeah, I've also probably built a garage for my toys. I was like, those are probably some toys that I like play with. Probably got some boats in there, some cars and some, you know, jet skis and what have you. Buying towers. By the way, this is my private beach right here, okay? Yes, you know my neighbor. But I'm the beach ambassador, okay? So we're going to be friends, all right? Anyway, where was I? Okay, so I'm going to teach you something. It's called adding. A-D-D-I-E. Adding. Assess. That gives you awareness. You got to constantly be assessing where you are in life and business. Then design your future. In other words, create that picture. Remember the picture principle. that a compelling picture imagines phenomenal performance, because when you get the picture, you start living in that picture, right? Something amazing happens in your imagination. You see, when you start living in that picture, you start visualizing yourself driving that big Peterbilt truck. You know, I'm going to have something else in the tank. I don't know what it is, but maybe, you know, a water truck or something. I don't know, but we'll figure it out, okay? Money. That'd be good, you know, just pull up and, you know, it's a money machine. Anyway, whatever it is, that you got that picture, so you need to design a new future. Then you have to develop, if it's something that you're supposed to do, then you have to develop that plan. You have to develop your people. That's what we're going to talk about next, is how to build a phenomenal dream team. So A-D-D-I-E. We assess where we're at, design our plan, develop our plan, design our future, develop our plan, and then we got to implement. We got to take action. Once we take action, what do we do then? We evaluate what worked and what didn't work. How many conversations have you had with people that say, oh yeah, I tried that and it didn't work? Really? Huh. Well, why does it work for other people? Oh, I see. They did it differently and they stayed in the game. Oh, I see. They were more persistent than you were. Not that it didn't work, it's that you didn't work. In fact, there's somebody in this room, I will not point the person out, I promise, but that years ago learned referral marketing from me. And I had a conversation with him, and I said, I'm not looking at him. And he said, yeah, I tried that. Didn't really work for me. And I said, may I ask you a question? How many people did you go see? Who did you go see? How many times did you go see them, et cetera, et cetera? He went once to one place. It might have been twice to two places or something. That ain't enough. The reason that Elise is where she is today, turnkey, is because she keeps showing up. And she implements, and then she evaluates what she implements. A-D-D-I-E. So I learned something from Ellen Rohr. You keep a master projects list, okay? And then what you're going to do is you're going to take your assessment, you're going to take all your notes, you're going to assess where you are, and you are going to design your future by taking four of those projects. Four things on that list that you're going to develop. That's what we call our phenomenal four projects. Okay? Those are your four priorities. If you folks, you know, if I had a baggy suit, you know, I'd get on my knees and beg you because, but I don't. I can't hardly move it. But I would beg you, please, get up every morning and work on those phenomenal four projects. They may or may not be the right ones, but at least you're doing something. And then as you evaluate, as you think about it, as you come to conference, as you get on your pods, as you have your coaching session, you can say, you know what? That's probably not as important as this. And we start out, it's like a fire hose, isn't it? It's like, oh, I don't know what to work on first. What we're getting better at here at Inner Circle is helping you to stay focused, okay? So tomorrow, when I share with you how to get turnkey in 3 years, it's taken Michael Killen about 4 years, but he was a little behind when he started, okay? Where's Larry? Larry, right here at this table. Eric and Larry, took them a little bit longer than that, but you know, it takes you a little time to get wrapped up and everything, but once you get busy and you start, and you get focused and you start taking action every single day, doing that daily time capsule, focusing on those phenomenal four projects, in about 3 years, they got turnkey once they got, you know, focused. We believe that if you'll do that every day, you'll understand this process. It is a system now. And as Rick Jones likes to say, our programs, our systems are no longer on trial. They really never were because they worked in my business, but we needed to have case studies. We had case studies in our industry. Some of these guys have been around for 16 years, you know, like Lee and Andy. Okay, there's no question that they work. Then Zig Ziglar comes along and all these people from other industries start coming in. Jerry Perry, lead architect, credit card processing, printer, doctor, lawyer, you know, financial planners, chimney restoration, washing, yeah, rise up. And, you know, probably in this industry, in this room, there's probably, you know, I don't know, 40 industries right here, that this will work for everybody if you work it. How does it work? You look at your assessments. You know, when I walk down that beach in Destin and I think about my life, I use that wheel. How am I doing spiritually? How am I doing mentally? How am I doing physically? How am I doing family-wise? How am I doing in my career? How am I doing financially? How am I doing personally? I took Johan out to lunch the other day, and he said, "How you doing, Chief?" Actually, that's not true. I didn't take him out to lunch. He came over, and he was helping me do some things. It was Saturday morning, and I saw the opportunity to spend some time with him. And he wanted to take a ride in my new car, so we put the top down and we went for a drive. "How you doing, Chief?" And I was asking him, and we're hanging out. And he said, "How you doing?" I said, "Well, I have a method. I have a system. Okay, let's see. I just go through the wheel, okay?" So I spiritual, mental, physical, you know. I went through the whole wheel with him. Go through the wheel of business. How are you doing? What do you want to do next? What do you need to, you have to have a design before you can develop it. You can't just go out and start working on something without a plan, right? ADDIE. Assess, design, develop, implement, and evaluate. This is a process. It's a system. You want to do this at least every quarter. And then tomorrow, I'm going to have a special document for you that'll keep you focused. I believe that we're doing a better job of leading and onboarding and keeping you focused. And let's give our pod facilitators. Stand up for us. Jim, Christian, Sherry, who else is a pod facilitator right now? Okay, who else is here? Rick is, of course, not here right now. Who else do we have doing pods right now? Okay, so give our pod facilitators. Just show up. Show up. The reason these folks who are highly successful with this is because they show up and they do the work. Yes? Or yes? Okay. You understand the process? You do the assessment. You get your phenomenal four projects. Make your notes over here. And then the things that you want to take immediate action on, you can notate those on these different pages. But then you're going to have to to chunk that down, because you really can't work on more than 3 to 5 projects at a time. But you need to have more than one, because if you're waiting for graphics for a website, you're interviewing people and you can't complete that project, then you need to have another one in line. And one of those projects is what we call the one thing project. Can anybody tell me how that focusing question, the one thing focusing question, goes? Anybody recite that from memory? Other than Sherry Perry. Okay. Matt Clark, come on up here.
Yes.
Come on, baby. Get that microphone right there. Okay. All right. I want you to give me the one thing focusing question. All right.
Okay. It's, what's the one thing that I can do such that by doing it, everything else becomes easier or unnecessary? Okay.
Beautiful little children. I love that. I love seeing the Facebook posts. And I'm going to go hang out with him. I don't fish, but it looks like fun. I mean, they go fishing and all that stuff. Anyway, what's the one thing? Not 12 things, not 5 things, not even 4 things. This is the point that we need to come to. If you are not there, if you are not to the place where you know what your one thing is to move up, then you need to get some coaching while you're here. What is the one thing I can do? Not the economy, not the... I shouldn't just make you stand up here like that. Look in that box right there and find a book that you don't have, and give Matt a big hand clap. Oh, this is very simple. Okay. All right. Listen. What is the one thing I can do? Maybe what we can do as a team, as a company, what is one thing we can do? That doesn't mean waiting until the economy gets better. That doesn't mean waiting until COVID is over. That doesn't mean, waiting until the weather is better. That doesn't mean when I get that employee. It means now, today. What is the one thing I can do such that by doing it, that's implementation, that's taking action every day. Everything else will become easier or unnecessary. Let's say you're in debt. That's going to hurt you. Let's say that you realize, you become aware of that, and you say, you know what? The one thing I can do, the one thing we can do, is get out of debt in our company, maybe even personally. So then you chunk it down. What's the one thing I can do to get out of debt? What's the one thing I can, and then you identify that. You chunk it all the way down to where you have your action step for today. Don't get on a website and buy a car unless you can afford it. Okay, unless you have plenty of funds that you can do this. Don't just buy stuff. What I used to do, I used to buy trucks, but I didn't have money to buy trucks. But people gave me money. And then I didn't have the profits and the cash flow to buy stuff, so I just put on credit cards. Oh, no big deal. Sales are growing and we'll catch up. No. Stay wonderful. You'll wake up one day and say, man, I'm working for this interest. I'm a slave to this interest. Yeah, no, I gotta get profit first, whatever it is I gotta do. And fortunately for me, Ellen Hoare, Wonder Woman, came swooping in. and helped us see. Okay? That's our community talk for this morning. Use these tools that we have and stay focused. And if you do that, when you do that, you're going to see yourself moving up. You're going to start reaching those goals and dreams. Yes?
Yes.
And?
Yes.
Perfect. All right. How many of you are interested in building a phenomenal dream team? All right. How many of you would like to have somebody on your team like Santiago? Okay. Now you can't have Santiago. Well, that's actually not true. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can get an EOS, dream team trainer, whatever. But I was sitting here a while ago while y'all were working. I'm sitting over here and I'm watching Santiago and I'm like, okay, so he runs all this cable and, you know, does all of the technical part. He's a master coach, master leadership coach, master sales coach, master personal development coach, phenomenal spiritual man, family man, father, brother, friend, team member. I mean, is there anything a man can't do? You know? I mean, seriously. How do you find somebody like that? How do you develop somebody like that? I mean, look at the people in this picture right here. I walk in this room and I got my briefcase. This is how much work this is for me. Okay? All of my work is thinking. Getting up at 3:19 this morning and saying, okay, what do I need to share with you guys? And, you know, where are we at? Where are we going? And, you know, I knew what I was going to share with you, but, you know, you always want to recognize what's happening in the moment. And Michelle has all this stuff set up. Just easy peasy. Victoria's not even here. She's in Hawaii. But guess what? All the marketing's set up. All the stuff is set up ahead of time. Look at my son Christian back here. The guy's become a phenomenal coach. I was reviewing my planners, and I did the same thing. I practice what I preach. You want to go back through your past planners. One of the things that I do in my planners, I really use that journaling section, and I journal. Every week, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I go back and say, okay, where was I at this time last year? Where was I 2 years ago? What was happening? What were I thinking about? And I came across an entry from a few months ago. Michael Arce, I took him to Destin with me. And we rode in the car together. And it was a great experience. For me. Maybe not for him. It's like, what did I get myself into? By the way, do you drive safely? Well, we'll see. What's the deal with all the snacks? Like, you know, there's like crumbs all over the car and everything. But we had a phenomenal time, and I wrote in my journal. Michael is a saint. You get to know that man. He is a saint. And I was just like, man, I got the right person on the bus. You got to get the right person. We're going to talk about that. Got to get him on the bus. We'll talk about that. Of course, Rick is not here. Ellen's not here. Leaky, I moved her over back over to the service company because they needed some help over there. But we're going to talk about here today, how do you build a phenomenal dream team that is engaged, enthusiastic, and empowered? Okay? Did I say perfect?
No.
Santi, You seem perfect, but are you perfect?
Absolutely not.
No? Christian, are you perfect? Michelle, are you perfect? Michael's the same, but are you perfect? No, who do I leave out? Okay. Who do I leave out? Wait. Michael, oh, Victoria's in Hawaii. I asked Chris if he's perfect. He said no. But are they engaged? 70% of American workers are disengaged. Are they enthusiastic? Why is that important? Because when people are enthused, they're going to implement. See, the reason we do all this crazy stuff, rise up and all that, is because I learned something from Mr. Rick Jones back in the day. He said, if you want to be enthusiastic, you got to act enthusiastic. If you want to be enthusiastic, you got to act enthusiastic. How did I ever get through Dale Carnegie's leadership training for managers in 1997? Something else that happened in 1997. I almost left the room. I was like, these people are crazy. You're talking about rise up. By the way, that's why one of the reasons we don't invite non-members into our member-only events, they have to go through boot camp first and they have to sign up because they walk in this. I don't know about these people. They're crazy. Anyway, and empowered. What I mean by that? That they have the power to do their job when you're not there. How many of you want a phenomenal dream team? Let me see your hands. Okay? Awesome. You might have an idea of what that phenomenal dream team could do for you. Man, I need some people in the field. I need a marketing person. Or I need a manager. I need a bookkeeper, whatever. But you might be missing the point. There's something way more important than that. And it is this. It's the dream. If you don't have a dream, what's your team going to do for you? Tomorrow we're going to talk about how to get turnkey in 3 years. Do you know what you're going to do when you get turnkey? One of the problems that we have in this community is a lot of people have gotten turnkey and they don't know what to do. What do I do? I don't, you know, for my whole life, I've been getting up and I've been working. I've been scratching my way to success. Now I'm successful. What do I do now? You got to find a dream. We were talking about this on one of our pods last week, and Eric. So Eric and Larry got turnkey, sold their business. They got up to $3.5 million, sold the business for a lot of money. And now they're helping other people, and they're helping me. We're enrolling people in Inner Circle, and they're setting up a business for me in California and online and bringing people in. And that's the next phase for me. And so Eric, you know, they've sold the business. They're doing Blue Collar Nation podcasts. They're doing technician training. So if you guys have technicians in the field, get with these guys and subscribe. What's it, $59 a month? A little bit. Oh, it's 89. It started at 29. Every time I ask, I quote the price. It's more. Larry's learning. Eric and Larry learning. So he said, man, I got something out of that. We had this little discussion the other day. He's like, I got to find a dream. See, because that dream energizes you. Now, what if you have a dream? If you have a dream but no team, you have to give up the dream or build up the team. Now, if you have a phenomenal dream, and I hope you do, but you have a not so phenomenal team, guess what? You got to bring your dream down until you bring your team up. See how that works? This is my dream. I get to live my dream a lot of days. That's my beach. I love to walk that beach. But there was a time when I didn't have a phenomenal team. I didn't have a dream team. And guess whose fault that was? I had the people. In fact, the same people are there at my service company today that were there back then. Many of them. Everything rises and falls on leadership. The toughest person to lead is? I wasn't a very good leader. In fact, I was a horrible leader. I was a boss. But man, I was a phenomenal boss. You do what you're supposed to do. Why wasn't this done? Get this done. Get that. We got a lot of stuff done. But guess what? When I wasn't there, you think that they were engaged? Whew, glad he's gone. Glad he's got appointments. Book him some more appointments so he's not going to be in the office. And you better hide that because Howard's coming by. Better make everything look good. Right. He's gone. That poster right there is a poster of the Seaside Post Office. Those of you that have done Dream Days with me, one of the things that we always do when you do a Dream Day with me is we go down to Seaside, we take a picture in front of well, not always, there have been exceptions. We always take a picture on the beach. But if we go down to 38, I always like to get a picture in front of the Seaside Post Office because that was my vision board. That was my dream. And here I am, slave to my business, working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in debt, trying to pay for all these trucks that I wanted on credit and pay all my credit card bills and do all this stuff. And I go in the men's restroom and I go, why are you not there? Why are you not there? Doesn't matter what your dream is. It matters that you have a dream. So finally, I got busy building a team. And now that poster right there, I still have that. And I'll always keep that. Same team. See, they have the potential, but they have to be led. Okay, so I want to walk you through. I want to ask you a few questions before we get into the meat of this. Do you have a dream? If you don't have a dream, then get this book. We have a few copies on the back table. Find your dream. There's 7 ways to dream there. Learn how to dream. It doesn't matter. It's your dream. It's your calling. It's what God is calling you to. If nothing else, how many of you would agree that if you could, if you were a 10 all the way around the wheel of life, just that alone, would you be living a pretty phenomenal life? Yeah. And it doesn't really matter. Everybody doesn't want to be turkey. It doesn't really matter what role in the business you fulfill. Because you might be happy being the technician or being the manager or working in the business. There's a lot of reasons. You can make a tremendous difference in people's lives at any and every position in that company, every role in that company. Because there's somebody around you that you can make a difference in their life. But we got to have a dream. We got to have something that pulls us out of bed in the morning. Because nothing happens unless we first dream. John Maxwell says that a dream is an inspiring picture of the future that energizes your mind, will, and emotions, empowering you to do everything you can to achieve it. You see, if you don't have that, if your mind, will, and emotions are not energized, it means you don't have a dream. And the reason you don't have a dream is because you don't believe that you can be in that picture. Period. End of story. Reread the introduction of my book, FTI. The secret ingredient of success, Zig Ziglar says, is desire. Desire comes from a vision, a picture. We don't have desire because we don't have a vision. We don't have a vision because we don't believe. We'll sit there and say, oh, man, I want this, and this, and it'd be nice to do that. It'd be nice to do this and the other thing, and, all the big wish list. But, how you can tell whether you believe or not. Anybody want to help me with that one? What is it? Look at the action you're taking, period. You value what you do and you do what you value, okay? Earl Nightingale said that whatever we plant in our subconscious mind, how many of you know that we've learned from Earl Nightingale, Zig Ziglar, Dr. Caroline Lee, what all of what happens in our subconscious, or what Dr. Lee calls our non-conscious mind, is not our brain, it's what's happening in our mind. There's a difference between your brain and your mind, and you're always planting. Every day, you're planting. Whatever we plant in our subconscious mind and nourish with repetition, daily habits, and emotion, desire, will one day become a reality. Even Jesus said this. He said, therefore I say to you, all things for which you crave and ask, believe that you have received them. In other words, it's already done in the spiritual realm, and they will be granted to you. It's biblical. Now, when we know Christ and we pray according to his will, that's the other side of this, is that, you know, we don't want to just say, oh, I want this, I want that, to spend on myself. There's a balance here. What does God want me to do? What is his dream for my life? I sent my publisher an email not too long ago about something we were working on, or a question I had about one of my books. And he replied and gave me the answer. He said, by the way, he said, I've always wanted to have a business author write a book called The Monday Morning Christian, How to Live Out Your Faith at Work. And I think that you would be the perfect person to write that book. Yeah. That's what I said. And immediately I knew I got to write that book. You know how long it took me to write the introduction and the outline of that book? Not long, because it just started flowing out. I mean, I didn't have a computer. I was sitting on the beach on my iPhone, like, you know, I can't even text like that. I mean, I can't do it like the kids do. I mean, like, I'm just like, yeah, I better put this on the paper so I can get in here. I mean, you know, it like just flowed out. So I just finished the first draft of my phenomenal youth book. I'll get it all shored up by Memorial Day. And I am that close to finishing my devotional by Memorial Day. So those will be off the table and in progress. And I'm going to start working on that book. Because I can have my own personal selfish dreams and goals, but I can't leave God out of the picture. He made me. He created me. All of this is about him. And he said, oh, they're driving Padre Island. He don't know what it's going to look like yet. He's going to write some manuals. He thinks he wants a big truck and sell trucks and all that. He don't know. I'm going to get him on the path. Right? That's what he does with us. He's walking down the hallway and somebody kind of walks out of the shadow. Those seeds. Zig Ziglar said, you are what you are and where you are because of what has gone into your... not just your brain, your mind. You're what you are and where you are because of what has gone in mind. You can change what you are and where you are by changing what goes in your mind. So I want to make a big deal about that because I want you to understand that you may not get turnkey in three. You may not build a phenomenal dream team. You probably won't unless you have some driving force. You may not be aware of that driving force. You may not be aware of, you know, what your subconscious is saying to do, but you need to have a dream. So my question is, and your question to yourself, maybe you want to write that down in your notebook. What is my dream? I'll cover this tomorrow, but I was reviewing a video when we had Michael Gerber here. He was talking about systems. And he said, the real question behind the system is why? We were, human beings were created. Now, this is Michael Gerber saying this, that we were created to create. What is your why? All right. How do we build a team? By the way, I think you have a handout on this. Fill in the blanks. You guys got that? No. How do you guys like my book? You know, I literally looked online to find out if I could buy that bus. Buying cars right now. Exactly. Now, if the real bus existed, it would be cool to say this isn't just a painted bus. This is the bus. But the bus doesn't exist anymore. See the phenomenal parts of the bus. See how we're brainstorming here? I have a friend who owns, you remember the TV show Sanford and Son? Remember that little red truck that they drove around in? My friend owns that. Yeah. He used to own a Holiday Inn in Arkansas, Little Rock, Arkansas. He took me down to the basement. He said, AC, he's listening now. He's like, AC was doing something. And he's like, yeah. He has a little red truck. I don't know if he stole it or what, but he had it, you know, glass and closed and everything. I was like, it's in the basement, all glass. And you can't drive it? No, you can't drive it. Anyway, so get the right people on the bus. So who are the right people? Number one, let's get your hand up. Number one, you need people who want to win. How many of you know that everybody doesn't want to win? Because winning takes effort. Winning takes practice. Winning means that you've got to wake up, get up, dress up, show up, speak up, and all those opportunities. Number two, they want to grow. You're looking for people who want to grow personally and professionally. Number two, they want to learn. Someone who is not a learner is not going to be a leader. Someone who is not a learner is not going to be a leader. Number four, they want to belong. That's called community. Now, everybody has a longing for belonging, don't they? But everybody is not ready to belong. So what I mean by wanting to belong is they're ready to step into the community and be a part of the community. Number five, they want to help others. You want to know why Santiago's here? He started moving boxes. By the way, Michelle, do you have my boxes for tomorrow? Of course you do. And I'm not even going to have to remind you tomorrow to put them on. Of course. But I just said, somebody got that. But I don't have to. The reason he's here is he started moving boxes, and he started hearing your story. I got to be a part of that. And gee, when's the next event? He didn't say this, but that's kind of how it went, right? How many of you have said this or you've heard this? I can't find good people. Or felt it. Huh, there's a real problem here. We need to drill down on that one because let me ask you a question. How many people in this room, I really want you, if this is true, I want you to raise your hand, okay? Ready? This is an easy question. Is there a Chick-fil-A in your community? Okay, keep your hands up if there is one. Okay, everybody maybe wanted except for one or two people. Okay, all right, you can put your hands down. How do they get young, positive people who say my pleasure, who say yes ma'am, no ma'am, yes sir, no sir? How do they do that? Well, first you gotta find them. And in order to find them, you gotta know what you're looking for. One of the things that that's coming up. Okay, so here's the question. What kind of person are you looking for? Give me some attributes. Talk to me. What's that?
Polite.
Okay, what else? Enthusiastic. They have integrity. They what?
Humble.
They smile. Okay. Huh? They're smart. Accountable. Dedicated.
Hungry. No three.
Huh? Dependable. What else? They're breathing. No, that's not what you're about. Oh, now you're pointing to somebody else. Somebody else said that. We might have some work to do on that because they could be breathing. But no, what are you really looking for? Let me rephrase that. Maybe I need to qualify this. What kind of person would make a phenomenal dream team member?
Leader.
Somebody who's teachable. Somebody who's a dreamer. The what? Positive attitude. I think what I hear you saying, yes, sir.
Willing.
I think this is what I hear you saying. You're looking for someone who is successful in life. Good habits. Good work ethic. Positive attitude. You said that. Great appearance. Intelligent. Or smart. Honest and trustworthy. Loyal. Organized. Takes initiative. And a potential leader. Because if you are going to build a phenomenal dream team and you're going to get turnkey in three, you're going to have to move some people up. So you're going to need leaders, aren't you? When you guys are done filling in those 10 things, I'll move to the next slide. Because the next slide is going to hit you hard. Even if you've seen it before, it's going to hit you again. Are you ready for it? Okay, we're on. Keep going, huh? Okay. Keep going. Fill it in. You ready for it? You ready for this question? Yeah. What kind of person are they looking for? How are you showing up? Another question, what kind of reputation do you have as a business owner? You know, if you're going to attract people, You have to understand that this is a marketing process. It's the same exact process as marketing. So you take our marketing programs, you put it over here in leadership. You find prospects, you find referral sources, you're attracted to them, you build a relationship with them, and they like you, they want to be a part of what you're doing. Joseph Michelli said that a brand is nothing more than what people say about you when you're not around. You have a personal brand. What do they say about you in the marketplace? What do they say about you in the community? Are you even visible in the community? Patrick Lencioni says that the ideal team player is humble, hungry, and smart. Humble, they don't have a big ego. They're willing to learn. They're willing to serve. Hungry, they want to win. They want to hit that goal, and they're smart. We're talking about people smart here. We're talking about emotional intelligence. Because what happens when you have someone who is just humble, but they're not hungry, and they're not smart? How many of you know that there are some people that could use an extra level? They can move up their self-awareness. They don't know how they're coming across to other people. See, being accountable is having other people around you that say, hey, the reason Michael got hired, talking about building a phenomenal dream team, is because he saw me at Ziegler. We've built a relationship. He heard that I was going to Waco, and he said, I want to serve you, I want to serve you in any way that I can. And I told him, I said, I'm going to Waco to speak, and I'm probably going to sell a lot of books. And so, you know, I'm going to have, like, several cases of books, and I don't want to be out there trying to, you know, push this dolly of books. And, you know, it just doesn't look good, right? So you want to ride with me? You want to hang with me? He said, sure. So he gets the dolly out and the boxes and everything. And this convention center, the Waco Convention Center, has this big tile floor. You know, you go upstairs, there's some carpet, whatever, but I don't know why they put the tile floor in. Well, I do know, but it's a different story. And we get up to up the stairs, and he says, boss, we don't know each other that well yet, but do you mind if I share something with you? I'm an open book, man. Talk to me. He said, do you realize that your shoes are slipping off your feet and clacking on that floor when you walk across the floor? I just don't think that's a good look for you. I said, what? I'm like, I got the right guy. I had those shoes resoled and the socks that I had on were really thin, and it was just like clack, clack, clack. I didn't even know it. You know, because, I mean, maybe, you know, when you're doing it for as long as I am, you just say, they like me, they don't, whatever, okay? I know what I'm talking about. I might trip over something. I might bump into somebody, but you're like, no, you probably should pay attention. You want to go on another trip with me? So we're not aware. Okay, somebody who's hungry but not humble and doesn't have the awareness, that emotional intelligence, they're just going to run over people, right? And then you have somebody who is people smart, but they're not humble, they're not hungry, they just want to hang out. I love, as Michael Killen has been learning about hiring people, he said, Chief, the other day, this goes back about a year, I think, he said, I had a guy come in. And he said, if it hadn't been 6 months ago before I learned what I learned from you guys, I would have hired him. But I was watching what he was saying and everything. And a guy walks in and he says, you know, and Michael asked him something like, well, you know, why would you want to work here? It's pretty cozy. So the more they sort of unpack that, it's like, nah, I don't think this guy is, you know, probably the one that we want. Anyway, it went something like that, right? Cozy. All right, number one, you got to find them. You can't hire them until you find them, right? So how do you find them? Number one, this is a bonus, and I'm serious about this. I am serious about this, and I have to confess something. When I was building the PowerPoint, I didn't immediately think of this because sometimes I forget this. But then I remembered it, so I stuck it in here. So it's not one of the steps, it's a bonus. That's the most important thing. I was working with a guy many years ago who was a member, and we just, I don't know how it came up, but I said, so, you know, how did you find these people? He said, you know what? I just started praying. And God started bringing me people. Why not think about that first? How many of you know you beat your head against the wall and then you're like, oh, maybe I should pray about this? Yeah. Pray for people. See what happens. See if God brings people across your path. You also need to consider, do you need full time? I think that one of the things that happens is you're thinking, I need a Santiago, or I need a manager. I need somebody that can just come in and run this business and take all the burden off of my shoulders. You're dreaming. You are dreaming. Santiago did not walk in the door able to run this company. Johan did not walk in the door able to run the operations at the company. It had to be developed. If a person is going to come in and run your company for you, why don't they have their own company? Now, there are exceptions to that, but they're not going to take all the burden off of you. Can they do a certain position? Yes. Now, I happen to know a guy that has a very successful company, and if you hire someone that's already at that level, that's already running a big company or that has that experience, that's different. But they're not going to run everything for you, and you just retire. Can you hire some high-level people? Yes. Can they do a lot for you? Yes. But a lot of the things, tomorrow when we get to getting turnkey, those starting with those baseline things like marketing and admin and operations and things like that, could you use a part-time person? Aliki started with us as a part-time marketing guy. She was in college. We've used people who are retired, soccer moms. I had a lady who worked for me for 4 or 5 years making phone calls that's a shut-in. Maybe you outsource. You know, you can hire a bookkeeper. You don't have to do that in-house. You know, you can hire services, hire people to do certain things for you, right? I'm about to hire a guy who lives in Seattle, and I was going to hire him for marketing and networking, and I might still do that, but it came to me this morning as I was thinking about where we're at, where we're going. I was like, I should put him in sales, because where we're going, we already have more opportunities for sales conversations than we can handle. So we need to open that up. And I just got another idea. You're looking at me, because you already talked to me about this. Yes, the answer is yes. I just thought about this. Write it down. She's like, what? Write what down? If. Okay. The other thing is, so outsource, do they have to be an employee? All the people that I'm about to hire at Phenomenal Products, which is about 4 people, they're all going to be independent contractors. A, they don't live here. B, they're going to do things that are fairly independent. And C, I don't have to worry about all the employment stuff and insurance and all that stuff. they work out, great. If they don't, it's okay. But how many of you know that a vendor or a 1099 contractor, if they want to keep that position, they're going to really be in the game, and they're not going to just cozy up and take a nap somewhere and get paid? They're going to have to produce. Right? Okay. Let's see. So, Rick Jones is not an employee. He's 1099. Otherwise, he would be married to Brenda. Because when he told me he and Brenda had been dating, I said, you can't date a client. He said, I'm not an employee. I think it's so smart. He is my cousin. That's right. You know, we form partnerships with people. You know, Jim is not here right now, but he stepped up to be a coach. Sherry Perry stepped up to be a coach. These are all people on my team. Eric and Larry said, we don't want to try to reinvent the wheel over here. Let's join your team. I'm like, why not think of that? We thought about it together, but the point is that there are people who can help you in your company. They don't have to be an employee, all right? Now, the next question is, so you find the right people. You have a list of 10 things. You have Patrick and Tony's book. Buy that book. Read that book. You got the right people. Now you got to get them. You got to get them on the bus. Now you got to get them in the right seat. How many of you know that there is a different profile that you're going to need in these different boxes, right? So we're going to deal with the org chart tomorrow. But what positions do you need to fill right now? And I'm going to come up with a DISC profile here in just a second. But what DISC profile is the best profile? I'm going to show you a tool, actually, here in just a minute that you can use to make sure that you get the right DISC profile in every position. Okay, everybody familiar with our org chart? Okay. All right. How do you find them? Once you write down this word network, I want you to put stars next to it, and I want you to circle it, and I want you to underline it three times. So first, you got a network. Number two is have a referral reward program. Pay people who find team members for you. Number three, start with your existing team members. Reach out to your clients. And what referral sources might be in a position to send you candidates? Can you do ads? You can. That would be my last resort. I would rather hire somebody that I know. How long did Whitney work for you?
8 years.
8 years. How did you know her?
She was working for part time.
Yeah. Most of your team and your core team to help you build this amazing company, Softwatch System. By the way, even if you're not in Softwatch System, and you're some of you guys are at a point where you're making so much money you don't know what to do, talk to AC and, you know, get in that business opportunity. These guys make a lot of money, and it's a great business, it's a great company. Your core team, these are people that you knew. Did you place an ad to get this fine young man, Dan Holland, to join your team? He came from Monster.com or Indeed, or did you happen to know him before? Knew him for 27 years. Listen to this. 100% of Elisa's team members are
either
employee referrals.
Or
people that you knew. Reps, vendors, that's called a referral source. See? But you got to open your eyes. You got to be looking for them. You always have to be recruiting. Now, what you could do is Patrick, who will be with you a little bit later on, he is a hiring expert, and he'll find people for you. If you need a salesperson, or he'll recruit somebody. I have a client who's invested with me. His name is Michael Jones. And we're going through all this stuff, and we're talking about his team, and, you know, when you come to Destin and I work with you, I get the whole picture, right? Like, team, profit loss, dreams, just, you know, we get it all out on the table. We got a whole day to work with in a beautiful environment. And I said, wait, this guy is producing half of your sales? He said, yeah. I said, where did you get that guy? He said, you referred me to Patrick. Patrick recruited him. Now, it cost him $5,000, but how many of you know that that's nothing? This guy's doing half of his sale, right? I have another client who's getting this contract with Lowe's, and he's going to need people in Lowe's stores all over. And so if you're going to need a lot of people at a high level and salespeople, Patrick hires and trains all of the salespeople for Postcard Mania. They have over 200 employees, and these people are like, I mean, you would think you stepped into some kind of twilight zone. Everybody looks the same, acts the same, they got the same energy. I'm like, this is some kind of cult. Culture. It is. But Patrick hired them, trained them, recruited them, hired them, trained them. It's a great system. So maybe you get a recruiter. Like Patrick. Scott and I were, I met Scott at an industry technical class. Johan was referred by another employee. Santiago was referred by his father-in-law, Kenny, who is right behind him. And Kenny has been with us for 20 what years?
More.
26 years or something like that. Every single person in here except for one came from a referral. What's the best way to get a client? Referrals. What's the best way to get a team member? Referrals. Okay? Same here. Victoria actually applied at Denise's company when she was in radio, and Denise was like, this is corporate America. You're a nice person. You don't want this. So I talked to my husband. So she came and applied. Michelle, so you're gonna notice some trends. When you really start analyzing my life, you're gonna notice some trends. God, Denise. So yeah, good order. So Denise is tells me that there's this retail store that's closing and that I should hire the manager of that store. Let's bring him in, because I needed somebody for phenomenal product. And so he came in, we're talking. What's the first thing you're gonna ask somebody when you're talking about working again? Tell them about your goals. I'm like, his goals don't fit my goals. And we both immediately realized that. They said, well, tell me more about it. I told him all about it. He said, you should hire my assistant manager. Her name is Michelle. I said, tell me about Michelle. Tell me about Michelle. I stopped by the next day. I don't wait for anybody to call me. I don't wait for him to call me. I don't wait. Take action. When? Now. I think it was the next day. I just came walking in the store. I said, hey, Michelle here? He said, yeah, she's in the warehouse. And I go open the warehouse door, and there are boxes this high because they're going out of business, and all these boxes were shipping. She's turning red right now. And there's this blonde lady back there. given it to a vendor. Now, I ordered this shipment, da-da-da-da-da. I mean, she was giving it to him. She wasn't me, but she was, I was like, that's what I needed right there. 13 years? That would be 13 years. Yeah. I have a lot of stories you haven't heard yet. Longer you're here, the more stories you're going to hear. Ellen asked me if, she, out of all the people, I don't have time to tell all these stories, but Ellen Rohr. She's like, look, I want to build my franchise, and I have a lot of people asking me to work for them, but there's only one person that I would work for, and that's you. Yeah. Said, first of all, you got to be kidding. What's wrong with all these people? Secondly, are you asking me for a job? She goes, will you hire me? You know how Ellen is. I said, sit next to me at dinner and we'll talk. What do we talk about? What are your goals? What are our goals? And that's how we started working together. And of course, I can't leave Susie out. Susie's coming tomorrow at lunchtime with the babies. So she does a lot of behind the scenes things, and everybody knows how she got here, right? How she got on the team, okay? Referral. Listen, I don't care what Susie does or doesn't do, because she is a great mom. And she takes care of the grandbaby. Takes great care of them. I mentioned Michael, and might have to recruit his better half. She's a rock star. We had a session with Alan O'Neill. This is Alan O'Neill, who built a plumbing company here in Houston up to $10 million a year. And decided to sell it. The investment firm that bought his company had another company in Dallas who's doing $20 million. And they said, we want you to be CEO. So he sells the company and makes a ton of money. And then they pay him what he calls stupid money to run the place. They increased sales by $30 million, bought another company that was doing $30 million, got up to $115 million, and sold it. He said 21 plumbers on their team became instant millionaires that day. And so now they're at it again. They got six, and I may not have all the details right, but they have 600 employees. And we had him in Clearwater doing a thing with the leadership. Remember that, Sherry? Can we get the hand mic on? Yeah.
Not only do I remember it, but it was one of the most impactful sessions we've ever had, sitting around the table and having Alan O'Neill literally get to tears over what he had done for his staff members. And I was so moved listening to him and seeing how full his heart was, that he had made such a massive difference in his team members' lives. And I'm like, man, I gotta get me some of that. That's pretty amazing. And then he also said, we're all around the table saying we can't find people, we can't get people or whatever. And he said, well, I've got a question for you. And I'm like, listen, I got answers. What's your question? How much time, if it's so important to you, how much time are you spending to attract other people? And at the time, we were in desperation hire mode, which is we just hired when somebody quit or fired, whatever. We didn't have a plan. And I literally sat there and thought, hello, what in the heck? And it changed everything for us.
How much time are you investing recruiting? You know what I heard him say? He said, another plumber better not stop at the gas station when my guys were there, because they're going to get recruited. Mm-hmm. You should offer your team members a referral reward for finding new team members for you. Number two, you got to attract them. So guess what? You got to step up, dress up, show up, and be the right person. I was working with Tom, and I got more and more involved with Ziegler. And again, here comes God in the picture. I got off of an airplane across the street at Hobby Airport. Alexandra Ziegler just came to my mind. And I have to tell you that if you are serving Ziegler and Tom Ziegler has one child, it doesn't matter how many children he has, you're going to be kind. The dumbest thing in the world would be to not pay attention to his family. She always made Alexandra feel special. I didn't know at the time that she was a little insecure. And so I'm just that person. I'm that way. But we need to be intentional that way. And have Alexandra is the one that named it the phenomenal pop. And I get off the plane, Alexandra comes to my mind, and as it started, she was on my heart. I sent her a text message. I said, "Hey, so how are you doing?" "I'm doing good." "She's about to graduate college, so where are you going to go to work?" She said, "I don't know yet." And I'm thinking, surely she has some corporate job lined up, because she's one of the smartest people that I know. And graduated college with honors. And I said, "Well, no. Don't you have interviews lined up?" And, you know, she kind of gave me a blasé answer. And each one of these text messages, I wasn't getting a response right away. It's like she was thinking about how she's going to respond. And then finally I said, "Would you be open to working for me?" And immediately comes back, "I'd love to." Like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I just got played. It turns out, I don't know why people do this, okay? They hope that you're going to ask them, but they never give you any clues. Anybody married? I did. I was hoping you would ask me, "What if I didn't ask you? What if I didn't ask you and I hired somebody else?" But the point here is that because of the way I treated Alexandra is why she wanted to be on my team. I want to work for someone like that. Last week, she finished her fourth year with us. She is in year number 5. Yeah, she's a phenomenal person. So how are you going to attract them? Number one, add value to everybody that you know. Every single person you meet, you add value to them. Because you don't know. You don't know where your next team member is going to come from. Always be positive. Learn about them. And by the way, no experience necessary. It's better to hire someone who doesn't have bad habits. What if Alexandra, just as an example, or anybody else, I was one of the people, because there were people, believe it or not, even at Ziegler, that in the background, don't pay attention to her. No. Add value to people. Everything rises and falls on leadership. And leadership is influence. How do you gain influence in someone else's life? By adding value to them. Zig Ziglar said, here we are at Ziegler, for crying out loud. If you're gonna practice helping other people get what it is that they want, you can have everything that you want in life if you will just help enough other people get what it is that they want. What did I do? Make sure I was in and happy. Probably, you know, I did ask Tom. I had to ask permission. I said, Chief, I'm talking to your daughter about working for me. So I need to call you. I said, just between me and you, it won't go any farther than this phone call. Is there anything that I need to know? What kind of problems people got? I mean, you know, are you healthy? Yeah, I mean, are you eating? And so, you know, I thought, well, maybe the munchie is just a nickname. So let's make sure, you know, you got something to eat. So you serve people. That's servant leadership, right? And he said, the only problem is she's smarter than both of us put together, and before too long, we'll both be working for her. So guess who we work for now? And she does all my Ziegler work. I don't do anything there anymore. Really, I advise, that's it. So year one, here's how we do everything. Year two, Dave Ramsey calls it mastering the rope. Give a little more rope, a little more rope, a little more rope. Because they would ask, people would ask, Dave Ramsey, how is it that Chris Hogan or Christy or somebody like that, you'll send them to some place to get them the stage and all that? He said, because I give them a little bit of rope, a little bit of time. You don't know how many times Chris Hogan went to Omaha with Nebraska with 4 feet of snow on there and did a training in some basement somewhere. He earned that right. So little by little, she's been able to learn the system, implement the system, organize everything. So today, you know, she does it all. We got to understand that all business and all life is about relationships. You can have everything in life you want if you will just help enough other people get what it is that they want. Jesus said, give, and it'll be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Bob Berg said, people do business with those that they know, like, and trust. This is not just a marketing quote. It's a business-building quote. Are you getting to know people? Are you showing them that you like them? Are you demonstrating trust? See, there's a lot of things that I can do that would make people go, I don't know about that. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, your reputation is everything. Jim Cathcart, relationship selling has become an asset to others before they become an asset to you. So when you find somebody you want to recruit, you're going to try to think about, how can I serve this person? How can I help this person? How can I help this person get the 9 things that everybody wants out of life? Number 3, you got to hire them. That's where Patrick comes in. This is his book, No Fail Hiring. Everybody should own the hire box. We'll talk about that probably this afternoon. Here's the tool I want to share with you. Oh, there he is right there. Hey, Patrick. How you doing?
I'm good.
What?
Doing great.
What?
Phenomenal.
Yay! By the time you get up here, we'll be doing better than phenomenal. Listen, I want to apologize for yesterday, and I have at least 2 or 3 guys that will be happy to run to Starbucks and get you all the espresso that you want. So when you need coffee, you just let me know. I'm your guy, okay?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir? Yay. Okay. So this afternoon, Patrick is going to be doing a presentation. He's a hiring expert. I already told them that you've recruited for some of our other members. You need a high-level person. Patrick will find the guy. I told him about the team that you built at Postcard Mania, too. Some of them have been there. We did mastermind them. Okay. Another tool is Dr. Robert Rome has a hiring insights assessment. Patrick has one of these, too. And I'm sure they're different. But what you do is you plug in the responsibilities of the role, and then one of these assessments will tell you what profile you're looking for. Very important. Okay? Step four, you got to train them. All right? And I'm not going to go through all these things, but you have all these things in your back office at Inner Circle. Okay? What's the vision? What is the mission? What's the values? What's the purpose? That's your MVP. You got to show them where they fit on the org chart and what the possibilities are. You got to have PRDs. You got to have policies and procedures. You got to have the pay and benefits. You got to have the employee handbook. We have a 40 days of training manual on the site. Use industry consultants to come in and train for you. That's a real good shortcut. If you want to train people technically, don't try to do it yourself. If you can bring in a technical expert to train your people for you. Software portals. You know, today, if you need something on QuickBooks or whatever, they've got tutorials. And why is it that we forget sometimes that if we want to know how to do something, that we can just go to Google? You can go to Google and type in, how do I do X, Y, and Z in the beauty shop? And it'll probably pop up. Use those tools. Number five, coach them. Coach them. I want to give you five questions to ask people when they are missing the mark. Number one, do you understand what to do? In other words, do you know that this is your job? Remember, when you're coaching someone, you always do it private. Try to avoid making statements and instead just ask questions. Number two, do you understand how to do it? If they don't, we may need to review the training. Five simple questions. Number three, do you have the resources to do it? Because here's what happens. If you overload someone, they don't have the time, or you don't have systems in place where they have the tools, the products, and the different things that they need, the materials are not in the warehouse or whatever, that's on you, not on them. And they'll reveal that. Now, sometimes what happens is we don't do, team members don't do things in the right order. So you might have to unpack that. So wait. This is step one, then step two, step three. Let's talk about, can you tell me, give me that order again? Let's go back to training. Do you remember the step? Does that make sense? So go back to your training and make sure that they're applying that. Do you have the time to do it? You need to look at the load that you put on folks and make sure that it's realistic. Now, everybody's going to say, I don't have enough time. Everybody. Maybe not everybody, but Michelle does it. She just stays up all night, does it by herself. You know. We're working on that, aren't we? She's not even looking at me like she's going to kill me now. That was, Howard, that was 10 years ago, she said. Okay. But it's like, you know, she won't let me help her. Okay. Now, if you have someone who's just not in the game, they're not performing, you've asked these questions, and by the way, on the Inner Circle site, we also have a six-step coaching process, and where you can follow that process, and we get to the end of the road, they're just not in the game, you need to ask them this question. Now, watch how this question is phrased. See, we just want to haul off and say, oh, I don't think you're a good fit for this company. You're disrespecting that person. Because, by the way, you hired her. How about if we ask this question instead? Are we still the right fit for you? Some of you are creating a new vision and you need to sit down with your folks and say, hey, here's where we're going. Are you in? Here's what it's going to look like. Here's what the road looks like. Here's what the journey looks like. Are you in? It's okay if you're not. Because we have Patrick, he can find plenty of people for it. Are we the right fit for you? Make sense? Okay. Elise asked me a question one time, and I have to keep up with these high performers because they're always growing beyond what I'm doing. And she says, I don't have a problem with people who are not performing. She said, my problem is, how do I coach people up to the next level? That's what this is about. In our leadership, we're about to get into coaching for performance and moving people up to the next level. You develop them. Guess what? Find out what their goals are. What do they want to do next? What are they looking at? Put them in environments where they can learn. Here's Johan at Zoom Train headquarters in a mastermind with Charles Ho and Sherry Perry. You think he's going to get a little juice? Oh, yeah. Send them to ZLC. Develop them personally, and so that they can bring those good personal habits to the workplace. Step 7, promote them. This is why you want to always understand what their goals are. What position, what role do they want to move into? And then step 8 is sustainment. This is not a one and done situation. This is an ongoing process. I will do that in just a minute. Okay. This is our Christmas party in December. You talk about a bunch of engaged people, enthusiastic, just love their job. It's about community. It's about community. Phenomenal leadership is creating, delivering a phenomenal community experience. And so what you want to do is always be creating over the BTPOTT opportunities. This is Michelle and Victoria at the World Series. Look for opportunities. Go have lunch. Santiago, we just go and have barbecue and eat a pile of meat about that big. And I'm like, you going to be able to function after that? And he goes, he doesn't do that. Yeah. Be in their wedding if they ask you to. I mean, what kind of situation is this when people ask you to be their best man? You know, community. Rick is like a father to me. Santiago is like a son to me. Alexandra asked me to speak at her wedding. How cool is that? Not only that, that picture was taken. I was walking around the building, and they're all taking pictures and stuff, and I kind of walked up on the bridal party. I was like, whoop, come on in. I was like, ooh, you know. And so he took pictures there. Michael and I on the beach. Spend time with people. Spend time with people. I have a video that's 12 minutes and 49 seconds long. Where are we having lunch today? In here? Okay, so we'll play this at lunch once everybody gets to lunch. My business is turnkey. I don't have to be there at my service company ever. But I happen to be in town. I know I was going to be in town, but I happen to be in town. And Joanna was doing some stuff for me, and he said, team, we're having breakfast tomorrow as a team. We like just killed the goal. I mean, like record sets. And one of our biggest months ever, he said, we're going to breakfast on Friday morning. You want to go? And I said, of course I want to go. I normally don't go. I'm not there when they have breakfast. But yes, I want to go. I don't want to go at 7 o'clock, not because I'm awake, just because I don't want to see people until I get all my planning and work and stuff done. I just don't like to be anywhere that early. But I'll be there. In this video, I walked around the restaurant and I said, I want you to tell me how long you've been here and what you like about working here. Remember, I'm not there. This is a culture that has continued, and I want you to watch for the key word in this video. All right, so after you get lunch, you come back, we're going to play the video. And then the man who has trained up these teams and helping develop all these people, Mr. Santiago Arango Man, is going to be taking the stage after lunch. Share with us how it's done. Yeah, give yourselves a big hand clap, and how to find them. Okay, how to find them. You got to find them. You got to track them. Got to hire them. Got to train them. You got to coach them. You got to develop them. You got to promote them. You got to sustain them. 8 steps. All right, so we'll start again in here with our next session at 1 o'clock, but I'll show you this video during lunch when you're all settled. Yes, or?
Yes.